Aloha! Welcome to the Travel Angel Radio Show. I'm Cindy Palos here with my co-host Kathy Takushi, and I really didn't think I'd be here today. In fact, we had a show all backup planned and everything. Anyway, it turned out that things got a little crazy. And the way things are these days, I decided to leave a little early from Barcelona. And so I'm back, and it's good to see you, Kathy.
You too. Welcome back, safe and sound.
Yeah, you know, it was really fun because I did get to post. I have to say, this cruise was interesting because the Oceania had faster internet service.
Well, good.
So I was able to post, although it was difficult sometimes, because I could only have one thing to post on a time. Either you used your computer or my phone. I'd use my phone at least half the time, right? So, and I'm hoping someone might have been charged. If you get charged on your phone when you're not on the web, on board a ship, it's really, really expensive. And I'll find out if some
when
of those.
When you get your bill.
Well, because, you know, you're posting photos and things on Facebook, and you afterwards, was I on the internet on my computer, or was I on my phone? You know, it's like, I hope those didn't go up on the charge, because the charges will be very high others. But there is a new plan. Maybe you'd heard about this new plan that AT&T has. I use AT&T. Do you?
That's who I have.
It's called a day pass. Now, I've always had problems when I travel internationally. I always go over the gold plan, what they say. Oh, we have a perfect plan for you. It's the top of the internet plan. And it's a gold plan. And you pay like, I don't know, $130. And it covers, you know, it sounds like a ton of stuff. And I always go over it. And once you go over it in Europe, it's really hard because then you've got to try to call and you got to buy the new plan. Well, this new plan that they just came out with, I think a few months ago, is called the Day Pass. And they charge you only $10 a day. And it's supposed to be unlimited use of the data and texting. I wasn't quite clear about phone calls, but I don't use phone calls. I use either Skype or whatever when I'm traveling.
WhatsApp.
Or WhatsApp,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and, you know, it's $10 a day, which doesn't sound like much at all, but if you're traveling for 2 weeks, it can add up, but it's still better than the way it was before, in my mind. Well, I'll find out when I get my phone bill.
They do have a different plan, and we'll talk.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, that I always use.
What's that?
It's like an international plan, and it's like, I think it's $30 for a month. And I believe you get unlimited texting and 250 megabytes of data. But I keep all my data turned off. And then
that plan, and somehow I get over the data still.
So it's always off, but when I'm on the ship or in a hotel,
yeah.
I'm on wireless. So only if I'm out and about on the street and I need to do like a quick something, then I turn on my data. So, yeah,
I'm a data hog, Kathy.
I know.
pictures.
Yeah.
Videos really mm-hmm. eat up. Oh, my gosh. When you do video.
But if you only use it when you're out and about, otherwise you turn everything off and then be on the wireless.
Supposedly.
That's the secret.
Anyway. Let's first talk about me, but let's talk about you now. Kathy Takushi's with Captivating Journeys, and you've really been super busy. You know, I would have thought this kind of would be the low period because most people have already completed their summer trips, although our friend Christine Wong is going to Alaska on Friday. But a lot of people have done all their summer stuff, but then mm-hmm. is there a group of people that try to avoid the summer heat and the rush and just do the trips then in September and October when
there's
the prices
the fall
come
travel.
Down?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. the people that are that don't have kids, because most of the people who have kids, they have this certain time period in the summer to go, or they do a fall trip too. So usually it does get kind of quiet and it was there for a couple of days and then it got really busy and then.
Well, what are people booking?
Japan.
Still booking Japan. You've become Miss Japan Travel Agent.
I need to go to Japan.
You really should go to Japan.
Yeah, I will. Maybe next year. And then You know, planning for next year, river cruises for next year, that kind of stuff. So,
well, you've got your river cruise coming up in just a couple months.
October. Yep.
Portugal. That's just around the corner. What date do you leave for?
I leave October 20th.
That should be a nice fall.
Yeah. And,
because I have to say, Lisbon was one of the hottest cities.
Really?
It was 95, 96, and it felt really, really hot.
See, I like that weather. Most people don't. I love it.
to be out walking, and did a lot of walking. In 95 degrees in the sun, it's like I just was looking for every little shade part that I could find, you know.
Yeah.
And the hop on, hop off buses, which I did in Lisbon, even those were like, just give me some breeze, please, and just let me cool off, you know. But it was interesting. It was quite an interesting trip, and starting from scratch. I'm going to kind of go over it, but I wanted to give people another idea too, because besides Japan, which is really popular, you're also still booking Paul Gauguin.
Mm-hmm. We have some of the fall dates are sold out. I think October, which you're going to go on, right? And then I think there's some dates in September, and then up until February of next year, there's a few dates. So
there's some dates in September.
I mean, excuse me. Oh. Yeah, there is. I think a September 30th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's just around the corner.
Mm-hmm. If you want a last minute.
For the 7 days or the 2 weeks?
7 days.
Wow. Well, that's great news. I thought those would all be sold out because I know the October just zoomed sold out. So this is the 7 nights on Paul Gauguin, one of the top cruise lines and I have to say the service, the quality, the rooms, the people, the food, all inclusive, including your nice alcohol. And your tips. Boy, the tips on our cruise came to $350.
But how many days was your cruise?
12.
That's not too bad.
No, but when you see $350, it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. You know? But you don't think of it per day so much. You think of it like you see the bills.
At
like,
the
wow.
end, yeah. It's like,
and then you got to pay tips on top of that for your, you know, other things on your room person and people helping you out and stuff. So, yeah, that would easily get up to 400 in tips. So when you say tips included, that's a nice bonus on the Paul Gauguin. Plus, it's just one of those relaxed, chill, just hang cruises that you don't have to fly.
It's an easy trip.
It felt like the endless flyers, like, oh, no, another 12 hours to go. Oh, no. I'm going to miss the next flight. Oh, no. Going to have to rebook the flight. Oh, no. Luggage have to come off because I have to spend the night. Oh, no. One of those, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if you plan not, it can happen on long flights. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing this one, it's like, what, you go to Honolulu and fly right into Tahiti in like 6 hours, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's a no-brainer.
And they'll meet you at the airport, put you on the ship, and then you're off.
And it's relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that beautiful blue. I'm looking forward to seeing that beautiful blue ocean. Mm-mm-mm, turquoise blue.
Mm-hmm.
I have to lose weight. I have to go on a diet now because the food, I think the food is so good there. Oh, my gosh. Some of the best. So people, get on it. Call Kathy. And if Kathy can't talk because she's on there right now, Tina can answer the phone. 244-1414. It's a special deal. We have, without fail, anytime anyone listens to the show and they hear about this amazing thing, they go on, and I understand it. I would too. You go to Paul Gauguin Cruises, okay? This is what happens, folks. You go to Paul Gauguin Cruises, number one, you get hijacked because there are people out there, there are other cruise companies that really make it look like it's the Paul Gauguin Cruise site, and it's not. I mean, it happens to me almost always. Because it says Paul Gauguin Cruise, it shows the picture, and you think you're on it, and it's some other booking company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you finally, after half an hour, realizing you're in the wrong place, you go to the right one, and then you look for the price, and you're going, that's not the price that I saw, because it's like $2,500 for the balcony. It's, if you get the port, well, then there's the window and the porthole on this one. But I think the cheapest price, like $1,500 or $1,600, is that one that is the porthole?
The porthole. Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing deal for 7 nights. And Tahiti is super expensive, folks. So if you're going to go down and go to Tahiti and do a trip and stay at a hotel, it would cost you that for one night. It costs you $1,500 for just about 1 or 2 days. So it's a super good deal. And so call 244-1414. You're not going to get this deal online. It's a Kama Aina rate, and it's booked through a travel agency, which is Captivating Journeys.
That's right.
That's right. So now I'm going to talk about my
trip.
Your trip. I'm going to talk about your trip, and then we're going to talk about your trip coming up. The good and the bad. And it's all good in its own way, you know, because all of it's good because you learn even from things that you would want to call bad. But I have been on Oceania two or three other times, but on the Riviera in the larger rooms. The Serena was smaller. Mm-hmm. The good is that it's smaller and you don't have any congestion ever getting on or off. But I didn't experience that much congestion ever on the Riviera either.
I didn't. I've been on the Riviera and the Marina. And
never felt like...
I like that both those ships.
That's 1,000, I think, or 1,100 maybe.
Yeah.
On the Serena, you didn't have that, but you don't have the spa as nice. It's like, it feels like half a spa. It's like they don't, you know how they have that lovely spa on the Riviera where they have those beds? They mm-hmm. use it in the celebrity has those relaxing
ceramic
tiles.
Ceramic uh-huh. beds.
I went, you know, I thought, okay, I have concierge. I can get into the special room. You use your key. You get into that private room. It's lovely. You get an ocean view while you're laying on the beds. They don't even have that on the Serena. Mm. So that whole part's missing. Is just like you just go out and there's, I think, one jacuzzi and about four lounge chairs, you know.
Not enough room, maybe.
Yeah, not enough room. And you know how on the Riviera you have four lovely restaurants? You have Jacques, you have Red Ginger, you have that Italian restaurant, mm-hmm. and you have the steakhouse.
Polo, yeah.
Here they just have Red Ginger and the Tuscan Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. So you're cutting out two of the others. The people were nice. I didn't feel, I mean, you know, no complaints. The people were nice. I guess I wouldn't have any complaints about the service, really. My only real complaint was that I landed up upgrading the concierge and was told I can get a bigger room if I did the back of the boat. So there was two owner suites on the back of the boat on either side, and I was in the middle, kind of. But there was diesel fumes. Really strong diesel fumes. Now, maybe it's because it's not that big a boat and you could smell the diesel because you're closer to the diesel. But, I mean, it was constant. I could smell it at night. I could smell it in the morning. With door open or closed, there was diesel fumes. And I've never experienced that before. But I don't like smelling diesel. I don't think it's good for you to be breathing in diesel all the time, right?
No.
I mean, 24/7, whenever you're in the room sleeping, you're getting diesel. The rooms, now I thought it was a new ship, the Serena, but I found out after the fact that it was redone. It was refurbished.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was lovely. They had, on the Riviera concierge, I didn't think that the room looked that nice. This room looked nicer. It had lovely, I thought the drapes were very nice. I thought the layout, it looked a little more elegant in its own way than the Riviera concierge room that I'd had. So that was nice. And I thought most everyone I talked to, I asked them why. You know, Oceania has a very high return rate of people
there
who
is,
cruise.
Yes.
Very high. Mm-hmm. And I talked to, you know, they have that night, they invite you and everyone. On the night I'd gone on the Rivieras, it was a whole big party and everyone gets up and you get little things and you get a bronze sticker, you get a platinum or silver. Some people get the whole, you know, you find all the people. This one, the captain, I don't think he wanted to talk long. It literally, the ceremony in the captain's club one lasted about 15 minutes. You know how usually it goes on and on and on?
Right.
It was like, so it, but you do see that a lot of people are return customers. But the ones I talked to most had said they'd picked that particular cruise, not because it was the Serena, but because it was a good itinerary. And it was, and that was the reason I went, because it was a good itinerary. And the positive, just like when I was on the Seabourn and got into dock in Russia at the Hermitage in town, a smaller ship, you can get into places a little closer in than you can on a larger ship. So that helped, and I think about three places got a good docking close in. And you know, the whole experience was nice. The strange part was the first three nights, starting up in Bilbao, where the famous Guggenheim Museum was. The first two or three nights were really rocky. And I don't get seasick, but, I mean, everyone was going, wow. I mean, like, rocky. I mean, like, I've never been on a ship with this kind of, I mean, to the point where you're going, whoa, is this kind of scary? You know, I mean, really.
Wow.
And I was told that the newer ships, some of the new ones have stabilizers that, on the smaller ships, that don't happen like with this one, that didn't have those lower stabilizers or something. So it was like, literally, you couldn't even walk down the hallway with literally holding on almost with both hands.
Wow.
And I don't get scared. I wasn't scared, but it was enough where I couldn't sleep sometimes. It was like, the first night, it was like, bang, bang, bang. And I'm going, what's banging? And I didn't realize that I hadn't locked the, it was the safe door was open.
Oh.
And I kept thinking, it's hangers. And I got up and the hangers weren't banging. I moved things around. The hangers were not banging. Why is it banging? It was like, bang, 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 constantly, you know, with each. I was like, oh my gosh. It took me, being a detective, I finally found it was the safe door banging against each one. So that was an interesting experience. As far as the itinerary, it was really an interesting itinerary. And I think you've seen this in looking at a lot of the cruises you're doing. I think the cruise lines are realizing people want some different itineraries. A lot of people have already done the Mediterranean typical one. Not that we don't all love Florence and Venice and going to, you know, been there, done that a couple of times already, right? So I think a lot of people in the cruise line industry are looking at interesting itineraries. And this one was an interesting itinerary, and that's what attracted me to it. I love Spain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are places I never would have gone to if it wasn't a cruise, like Bilbao. And I didn't know really anything. Most people I've talked to don't know much, except they've heard of or seen a story about the making of the Guggenheim Museum. But it was fascinating, Kathy. It was really interesting. That was just a dump of a port town that had completely been wiped out. They have along the river, because it's based along the river, they have interesting pictures of the remaking of the city, of what happened when they decided to put the museum in and what it looked like before and after. It was unbelievable. I have to applaud whoever was the person behind doing that whole reconstruction of that city over. No one would have gone to visit Bilbao before. It was just like an old harbor dump town that just looked awful. That was like all the trash kept there, you know, like the worst seaside port town that you can imagine. And when they decided to do the Guggenheim Museum there, wow, the difference night and day. And that there, I mean, I like architecture. And as you know, Spain is famous for its architecture. And I think because it's famous, there's this, I'm going to do something really great because I've got Spain and it's famous for architecture, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a living sculpture. I'm not really into abstract art that much. You know, I like art. But I didn't really care for the exhibits that much. You know, I did that rather quickly. But just walking around the sculptures and in the museum, it is really like walking in a living sculpture. Every angle you look at, it's one of the more spectacular. I think I could say it's the most spectacular building I've ever been in.
Hmm. Wow.
And that's worth something. And a lot of people say the same thing that I talked to is like, wow, this building is amazing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed, and I realized after the fact when I was booking, I didn't want to stay. It was rather expensive. Most people stay at the, I think it's called Dominique or Domine Hotels, right across the street from the Bilbao, and you get a view of it, so they stay there. But it was rather expensive. I think it was going to be about 450 euros a night for a decent room, and wasn't that impressive. So at the Melia Hotel, which is 7 minutes away, it's more like 10 minutes walking away. It was $230 to $250 a night. And they were pretty smart. They did the upgrade. Well, it doesn't include your breakfast, but if you want to pay, we can give you a suite, and you get your breakfast included for 40 euros more. So did that, and it came to like $290. But, like, gosh, the breakfast was unbelievable. And the hotel was very modern, but not outrageous, but beautiful, all done in rust colors. People were wonderful. You step out and you walk right along the river. You walk straight down the river to the Guggenheim.
Wow.
And so that was a nice way to start it. I wouldn't, if you're going in and doing a cruise that includes that again, I wouldn't think you'd need to spend more than two nights there at the most. One night seemed okay if you're having one day and one night. And so that was interesting. I knew very little about the next port, which was, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly, so I'll just not even try. It's, I pronounce it Gijon, but it's, the G is supposed to be soft. Gijon, Gijon. I can't do it. Gijon, Gijon, like Gijon.
Oh.
But it's spelled G-I-J-O-N. And like, have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm. Is that in Spain?
Yeah, oh, it's the next, just down from Bilbao. Because we're going to be going down from Bilbao around, down and around in a circle. It's the Iberian cruise. So, but what was interesting on that one is there were some choices what you could go to. That port town itself is not much, but we went to Oviedo's. And if you are a Woody Allen fan, you've probably seen the movie about Vicky Barcelona, the one, oh my gosh, the beautiful people in that one. Oh my gosh, gorgeous women and men. Anyway, he goes, he's a very famous actor, that one of the most famous Spanish actors, is really good looking. I think he's married to Penelope Cruz, if you
Javier?
Know.
Javier?
Yes. Starring Javier and
Barton?
Yeah,
Javier
he's Barton. So good looking. He's so sexy. Anyway, so he's in, and it's interesting, they showed the movie that night before so you could watch it. Anyway, so he's a sculptor in this movie, and he's got two women he meet, and he's very, says, well, why don't we all go to Oviedo's together? It turns out that Oviedo's is an interesting place because it's where you start if you're going to do the Spanish portion of the Santiago walk, the pilgrimage walk. You start in that town because there's a famous cathedral there. So that was very interesting, seeing that cathedral and some of the ancient buildings there go way, way, way back. So that was a pretty charming little town, and I didn't expect it to be much of anything. But, you know, that's what I... You're going, okay, I don't know anything about this, but I'll check it out. And I have to say it was very interesting. And people from Spain go there. On
vacation?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So there, and then the next port was down to the very famous Santiago de Compostela. I'm sure many of you have seen the movie with Martin Sheen, The Way.
I haven't seen
that. Oh, you have to see that. He's so good in that, too. His son actually produced it and everything.
Oh.
And it's an interesting story about a father whose son dies, and he does the walk in honor. His son dies on the walk. And he feels bad because his son had wanted him to go and he didn't go. So he does that walk. And he's much older than some of the people. And indeed, I have to say, one of the things that was interesting about Santiago de Compostela, it's bigger than I thought. I just thought it was the church. But it's become so, I think, almost mind-blowing that so many young people want to do this walk. It kind of gave me hope.
Mm.
A great deal of hope for the state of our world that there's so many, I mean, there were 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds, sometimes 35, some older, but they were doing this walk. And I thought, how wonderful that, I mean, some women, there were a lot of groups doing it together.
Mm-hmm.
Some women, oh my God, they looked like they completely sprained their legs and they were hobbling, but they would, this huge square where the church is, St. James, Santiago's St. James de Compostela, and it's El Camino. El Camino means the way, so it's El Camino Santiago of St. James. So they were literally laying. You look in the courtyard, you know how big these courtyards are. I mean, it's a huge courtyard. It's big, probably bigger than the one in Venice of St. Mark's. You know,
big.
It's big, yeah. And they're just laying on the ground, so you're literally seeing hundreds of them. Just when there's no benches for them, and they're exhausted, and they're just laying there, and everyone's taking pictures or saying, you hear screams of yay, you know,
and
there's just kind of a feeling of wonderful, I mean, hope, and I felt that hope.
Oh, good.
And the church is gorgeous inside. You don't expect it to be as big as it's a very big church. And one of the nice things on the tour, that was an expensive shore excursion. That was $289 per person. But they included a lunch at a very, very old hotel, I think built in six or 700. I mean, very, very old. And it was originally owned by a duke or prince and turned into a hospital at one time, and the royalty would come there after a while. But it's in the main dining room, and it's literally huge, and then they had a 4 or 5 course dinner.
Is that the AC Palacio?
Yeah.
We're staying there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's very impressive. I didn't know you were going there.
We are after the cruise. We're doing after the river cruise. I have a private tour of just our group. We're going 2 nights into Santiago.
Well, there's lots of lovely places you can wander. Give yourself time. I'm glad you have 2 nights
mm-hmm.
because there's lovely cafes. I mean, Venice style, you know, small streets. And I mean, there was a lot more there than I imagined. So it's good that you have a couple of days.
Yeah.
Is your hotel right there on that square?
It's that AC Palacio. I think it's a Marriott brand now, but it's just a few minutes walk from the church.
Well, this one was right in the square, and it's just a few minutes walk, so I don't know. I'll tell you, it's really, I mean, I thought that was one of the highlights.
Hmm.
I didn't realize it was such a charming town. But it's extremely charming, everyone extremely friendly, very spiritual, very uplifting, lots of little shops with shell things, you know, shells that show that.
Well, yeah, because when Stevie Gale, she did that walk.
Yes, she
all
did.
All by herself.
I know.
I
did the walk with only having to do it from one port to the next with, I think, maybe 20,000 steps and all. So I found a new way to do a shortcut. I don't know if they count a cruise as a walk, but there are plenty of people doing bicyclists. I saw a lot of bicyclists. Many bicyclists. Yes, many bicyclists that looked like they were seriously doing it. But I think it's great that so many people are doing it because you could see some of them were writing their notes and some were doing this and that, and it's become a huge thing, bigger than I knew people wanted to do it, but I didn't realize it was that big, you know? I mean, big. Yeah. So I mean, you're smart to have a couple of days there. I think you'll find it one of the highlights of the trip.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, it's very special.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself time to, you know, go in the church and just, and there are plenty of people, you know how you go in churches on trips sometimes, there's no one in there at all? You just go, what are they? There were people in there really just, you know, praying and in there and seriously, you know, at the church. So St. James, I didn't even know that much about St. James, but the story was, of course, St. James was beheaded and they were looking for a place to bury him. And the monks saw a light of stars dancing at that location. Looks like dancing stars in a field. And so El Camino means the way, Santiago, St. James, and Compostela is dancing stars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
that's what it all means.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I very much, very much like that place, very much. So I would recommend
I'm excited
it anyway.
Then.
Yeah, no, you should be.
Yeah.
You should be. And I didn't even have enough time because, you know, you can get obviously anything from a gelato to a full meal, and it wasn't that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know how a lot of these tourist places are ridiculously expensive?
Mm-hmm.
No, Oviedo and maybe it's because they honor the people in the pilgrimage. Lots of restaurants and things, very reasonably priced things there. So, yeah, good. And the next one was a couple days in Lisbon. I didn't know what to expect. I did, you know, because I have this connection to Mary, I wanted to go to Fatima. So went to Fatima. They did have this big fire kind of going on the way to Fatima. So there was smoke across the highway for a ways. But it's a ways out there. Fatima is like an hour and a half.
From Lisbon.
It's out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really not much. I mean, what's interesting kind of on the way was there's a lot of cork trees. They make a lot of money in ag there for growing cork trees. And all my travels, I've never seen a lot of cork trees. They kind of look like olive trees. But cork trees are what make corks for wine bottles. And it's not an easy thing. You debark the tree for the cork. But then after you debark a tree, you can't let it grow back. It takes 6 years. So, I mean, I have new respect for corks now. I never, you know, when you take a bottle, you open the cork, you throw it away, you don't think twice.
It. Yeah.
It's like 6 years that tree's going to have to wait to grow back its bark, you know. So there's a lot of cork there. But you get a Fatima, and that's what's the surprising thing, Fatima? On the shore excursion, basically left on my own, which was fine. I like being on my own. You just get there, and she just left us on our own. So it's a huge courtyard again. I mean, I guess because you have the space. I don't know. I mean, it was, again, I think it was bigger than the Compostela and St. Mark's. It's a huge area. Hmm. Of course, all the popes have gone there. And, you know, one of the stories of Fatima was that Lucia, who had the vision, who actually saw it, Lucia had the different prophecies, and the last one she had was that the Pope would be shot. And that was way before the Pope was shot, Pope Paul was shot. So he came, and I didn't realize that he'd done that. He did a pilgrimage there, and he'd kept the bullet that was in him, and he took it and placed it, and it's there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the bullet that he, and he kind of relates that the fact that she did indeed get the prophecy correct, mm-hmm. and he was shot, and he survived, and the bullet's there. It was strange in ways. You get these, you know how usually in a church you get a small little candle. More and more they're just doing little lights. Well, here, no. Here they sell candles, and they're not much, but they're big, big. I mean, you can't see on the radio. What is that, 2 feet, 2.5 feet, 3 feet candles?
That's the Basilica of St. Francis was like that, too.
With the big candles?
Ones, yeah.
Yeah. So then you light them, but the thing is, there was this huge area, it's as big as the studio, with all these candles, and there's this huge flame burning behind it. It is literally, you feel like a furnace. So a lot of people couldn't get close enough to light the candles. So they are literally taking these large 2 feet, 3 feet candles and throwing them, throwing these candles. Someone on the shore excursion said, you know, that's very dangerous. You know, they're just throwing candles.
They're in the church down.
I had someone else who had lit a candle, light my candle, and just put it in. And you know, it's 95 degrees out there. You know, it's like, I can just reach here and put it in between. Because most candles were falling over or melting immediately because it was so. I mean, it had to be like 130 degrees in the furnace section of these. So you do that, and then I went to the, it's a very large cathedral. Okay, there's two parts. There's the part that is where she originally had the vision, and there was a tree. The tree, people have stolen so many parts, the tree's gone totally.
Oh.
But they have a little outdoor area where they do prayers. And that's where a lot of the popes go. But then they have this brand new big cathedral as well, which is bigger in back. And I went to both, but it's weird. You know, because I'm very attached to Mary. I've done, people may not know, but I wrote a book called Mystical Mother Mary, and then the CD of Ave Maria, Queen of Angels. So I was very curious to see what the energy was like, and indeed there was a presence there, but I felt it most outside the cathedral in the trees that surround the cathedral that I felt were connected to the original trees. There are still some of those old, old trees that are in back of the cathedral. So if you go to Fatima, I'd recommend not just going in the front. Go around the side and go around the back where the trees are. Number one, it's shady and it's colder. But I definitely felt an energy and a presence under the trees in the back, which was what happened with Lucia. She saw the Virgin in the trees. That's where the Virgin's appearance happened, in the trees. So it's sad that they took all the parts of the trees, all the pilgrims' original, nothing left. I think they have one little splinter left on display of the original tree. But there's other trees there that are lovely, and I definitely saw energy and light in the... And you know how you feel that presence, and the trees were shimmering at some. So those were nice. And I did that and went in the cathedral and prayed. And got, there's a gift shop on the side. But it's a tastefully done gift shop. It's not like some of those places where you go, oh, my God. There. I didn't feel any of that, you know. But in Lisbon Central, lots of gypsies. Mm. You have to be aware. I mean, you do the walk along the river. I mean, of course, I read a little bit, but... You know, Lisbon's right on the River Tejas, and it's quite a ways inland when you're doing the cruise up the river. It's not right on the ocean. It's up the river. And so that's where the statues, you know, are, and they honor, of course, all the explorers and discoverers there and everything. But along the walkway where all the tourists are, boy, there are gypsies intensely everywhere. And I'm kind of surprised that the police or anyone hasn't kind of, because they're very loud and very persistent. Mm-hmm. So you have to be aware of how you negotiate, because they'll, you know, try. There was literally a fight that broke out between a couple of the gypsies at one of the stands. I was waiting to buy some lemonade. And obviously it was a territorial war. And they were screaming like, and it went on. And I was going, I can't believe they're doing, this is not good for tourism to be able to hear these women screaming like a cat fight, like on and on. But, you know, there's that. And I did go to the, I think it's called St. Martin, the big cathedral there. Interesting cathedral. I mean, they did play it down, but actually it was a Knights Templar cathedral, and the king had killed the Knights Templars and taken it over. And that was an interesting cathedral right down off the waterway and where the walkways are, just a little ways in. And that was interesting. Lovely, old, huge, huge church, you know. I mean, once it, you know, and we're looking at churches that are, and buildings that are like 1100s, you know. I mean, really old. Did the hop on, hop off on the second day. I'd have to say I didn't like the upper area of the modern. I liked the old town. If I had to over, I wouldn't have. I did a hop on, hop off, spent a lot of time at the top. I would have just hung out in the old town, downtown, the old streets. One of the things that happened is there was a major earthquake in Lisbon, 1733. And after the earthquake, there was a huge tsunami that completely wiped out all that lower area. And so everything was built over. But they still built it over. And there's that styling of the, you know, famous Portugal where you have the wrought iron. There's wrought iron windows and things everywhere. So it's very charming looking. They're doing the whole cruise ship port area completely over, which is a little sad, I know, in the future. I guess they're seeing that as their new income, you know. So, but along the port, it's all complete construction stuff going on, right? So you don't want to, right around the boat, it's kind of a drag. You kind of have to get in into town a little ways to avoid all the, they're going to be doing new shopping areas and a whole new thing going in through there.
Yeah, well, I know Portugal is kind of the hot new place.
I think it
hot
is.
Hot new destination.
And I think they're aware of that. Yeah. I think that someone said, hey, you know, this is where you're going to make
it. So you better
so they're planning
fix it up.
Yeah. So you're in Lisbon for what, 2 days, 3 days?
Well, we get there one day, and then the next day, so we have two nights on the front of the cruise.
That's in hotels, not on board.
Yeah. Okay. Hotels, and then we go up to Porto, and then after the cruise, we do two nights in Santiago de Compostela, and then we come back down and stop in Fatima. And then
You're going to Fatima.
Yeah, so we when we come back from Santiago, we're going to go all the way down to Lisbon, but with a stop in Fatima. And then so we have two nights. So but that first day is kind of, you know, it's an all day trip. And then we're going to do a day trip out to Sintra.
Oh, okay. John went to Sintra. It's considered, and it's considered one of the Riviera. I guess like you compare it to St. Paul de Vincent above Monaco. It's the expensive area, and there's some palace and some interesting things up there. You'll be at the right time. John said it was worse than Florence as far as crowds. He said he could not believe, because it just sounds so charming and beautiful.
Yeah.
He said there were so many thousands of people that it was literally mobs. And so if you're going to do it, I think in October you won't be bad at all. But this course is the height of tourist season, but that's probably why it was so crowded. But you might want to go early or check it out or find out about the crowds.
Yeah, we have a private tour up there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, day tour up to Sintra. And then we come back and then kind of relax and have our farewell dinner and then come home.
I didn't make it up to the palace on the hill. I wanted to at the end.
Oh, the colorful one.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't make it. It overlooks the whole city.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I wanted to go to that, and it was a little too exhausting with the heat and everything. And the next one, we cruised a night on the Straits of Gibraltar and then hit Gibraltar. And Gibraltar, I'd never been to before. Have you been to Gibraltar?
No, but I saw they have monkeys.
They have monkeys that they warn you about. I mean, it's like you get warned and warned and warned. And, I mean, there are true stories that, you know, these monkeys know that they own that area. And they will go after cell phones. They'll go after backpacks. They'll go
they're
after
like
drinks.
Gypsies.
They'll go. They are, I tell you what, they're smart.
Yeah.
These monkeys are very evolved monkeys. They're evolved to the point they don't even have tails.
Oh.
And they look just like people. They're hairy people, but people. Got a chance to see some monkey families that I was just captured by how sweet they were. I mean, this male and the female with a little baby, and they were just so sweet together. It was kind of funny going away from the one section kind of where the monkeys hang out. A monkey got on top of a tour bus right in front of our tour bus. And he's sitting up there kind of just, I'm on your tour bus. And the tour bus waited and waited. The monkey's up there, not leaving. So the tour bus starts to go. And the monkey goes, oh, my God, the bus is going. What do I do now? It's like, woo. And he does a huge leap off the tour bus to the ground. It's like, okay. But it was kind of cute. I guess you're not supposed to feed the monkeys. There's like a $5,000 fine or something. So don't feed the monkeys, because that's part of what happens is people feed the monkeys. And so, but it is definitely a part. I'm on the very top of the Rock of Gibraltar. It was weird because on a clear day, you can supposed to see Morocco and you're supposed to be able to see for miles, and you can see, but the clouds were really heavy coming in, and it was really cold up there. You're way up. You know, I'm kind of afraid of heights, and you have to take a cable car up there, and it's like, I'm not going to look. And you're up there, you know, and you get way to the top, and there's some amazing views. Of course, that's considered one of the fourth or fifth most dangerous airfields.
Oh, really?
The landing strip is short and hard and long, and you have to, you know, really know what you're doing to get in and out of there. And rather busy. Literally, the road down below, the traffic is stopped on one side so the planes can land.
Oh,
which
wow.
I'm going, you know, security, because people drive right through that area that is the cross-section of the when the planes aren't landing. Not a lot of planes go into there, and they say not a lot of planes can make it when they get in there. A lot of them have to go up above to the airport, and I think an hour and a half away, because it can get closed often with the weather. But the weird part, it was so weird, because the person was saying, I don't think you can see Morocco real good, but see, you can see these ferries coming over. And I'm saying, yeah. I said, how often the ferries? They said, oh, the ferries are every half hour from Morocco, and there's two Spanish territories in Morocco. I said, well, how can they ever keep track of security with these people take their cars and their boats and their vans across every half hour? I said, that'd be a security nightmare. Well, sure enough, the people that did the attack in Barcelona were from Morocco. Yeah. And, I mean, I just, when you have ferry boats coming over every half hour from Africa, you know, you're just kind of going, of course they could get across really easily. I mean, after the thought, it's like, wow. And so anyway, we'll get into that, but I have 10 minutes, so let's see if we can go. So I'd say it was interesting. Did the caves, you can go inside the actual rock where the caves went on for 30 miles. I mean, I think it's, maybe I'm wrong, but no, it was miles and miles and miles that they did. It originally, it's been a history of people taking over. I mean, it went from country to country in battles. And at one point, they thought England was going to lose the war. I think it was Spain and France trying to take it over. But they decided to make holes in the side of the rocks and get the cannons in there and shoot down on the ships. And they'd already devastated the town below. And then they put the cannons in there and completely heated the cannonballs up with fire inside and shot the cannonballs down on the ships and took over, and they completely defeated the Spanish and French armadas by shooting the cannons down. So you can see that. They have pretty good recreations. You can see inside when you do the walk inside there. Interesting place and a charming little downtown area with lots of cafes and food and stuff. Very British, you know, fish and chips and stuff like that everywhere. They make the most of the British influence. In fact, they take the pound.
Gibraltar.
Yeah. But they will take euros too, but a lot of places take the pound. The next place was Ibiza, as you pronounce Ibiza. But I don't know what to say about that. You know, it was so wealthy in the amount of yachts, millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of yachts. I mean, I've never seen a parade of yachts, and I just watched for hours this parade of yachts, and the Prince of Arabia, one of the wealthiest, biggest yachts ever there, and then, I mean, yachts look like spaceships. They were so beautiful and so big, and they just, I mean, you couldn't believe all these yachts. Did a kind of complete tour of the island. Very much, oh, God. I mean, it's like a touristy party town in every little area, right? I mean, they found a little art community in one area, which was kind of nice with the old artwork kind of hippies, was at one time hippies, and now it's kind of an art community in the middle of it. But the water areas, oh my gosh, I mean, it's just all these people who want to party, right? And the big thing is you just sleep most of the afternoon and don't come out until 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and the bars and some of the clubs open by about midnight or 1 or 2, and they go all night long.
Wow.
Did you? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, me go to bed at 9 o'clock. No, actually, we left at about 9 or 10, but it was pretty interesting vibe of stuff going on.
The playground of the rich and famous?
It is, absolutely. In fact, Taylor Swift bought a hotel pretty close to the water, right? Wow. Downtown there. And I mean, I don't know what they all do. I mean, went to the salt beds. I did buy salt. They sell salt from the salt beds. It's a big income thing. They sell salt. Lots of salt. Lots. And there were flamingos out there. They're kind of white flamingos. And those were kind of interesting. They said, so yeah, I bought some salt. I have to bring you in some salt. I brought some salt from there, but I have it at home. So Ibiza, everyone has there's this fascination with this town. And I found it to be absolutely nothing interesting. It's not a place I would ever go.
Huh.
But if you're into partying and going out to clubs and being seen at, like, Digme Beach, 100% more than Digme Beach, kind of like Lahaina on steroids.
Huh.
Yeah, kind of that feel. Tourist, money, kind of. But the people with the money don't kind of hang out with the tourists. But I don't know what. They must have their own private clubs. I don't know. It was weird. And then one of my favorite places, which I didn't know much about at all, was Menorca. And I skipped Alicante. Alicante was before Ibiza. Alicante, I highly recommend. No one knows about Alicante. You don't know about Alicante. I'd never heard of Alicante. A charming, beautiful little town. Alicante was just, I loved it. It was very, very sweet. And, it was very real. I mean, like, you can see kind of wealthy people from the area kind of living there. And you could see it was like a vacation for people who lived in Spain who had money, you know. I thought Alicante was very nice. I enjoyed Alicante very much. And then, of course, in Ibiza. And the last stop before Barcelona was Menorca. And Menorca is below Mallorca. And I liked it better than Mallorca. It's a beautiful little town. Huge harbor. You can go way in and everything. And it's just a lovely place. You can go in and go up on the top. And there's a couple lovely cathedrals. I heard a fabulous organ concert. Huge organ. Played very well free in one of the churches at 1 o'clock. So that was really nice. Some nice little restaurants. Not too expensive at all. But that was a lovely place. And then landed up in Barcelona, heading out, you know, last night, sail away right before dinner, hear about some problem in Barcelona, right? You're in the news, and my watch goes off with it. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? There's a problem. So sure enough, everyone's heard since then, you know, what happened. In the beginning stages, you know, one person killed, there was some kind of problem, and it's like, oh my gosh, 5 people killed, and next thing you know, it's like 13 people killed. And originally, it's like 40 people injured, and then 60 people injured, and 100 people injured. And that's the way it comes out. And it's like, oh, we all know we're going to, you know, Barcelona the next day. I was going to be there 3 days. I've been there many times. El Palace is a lovely 5-star hotel, just about 2 blocks from Las Ramblas. So the stories are, there's roadblocks, there's police, there's, you know, you're not going to get into the airports, or there's all kinds of things. The airports are closed, there's security blocks. And I was going, well, how are we going to get in? Well, sure enough, the next morning, 8 o'clock, you get off, because you have to get off the ship early. I got a taxi, drove to the hotel, no problem, no traffic, no stops, you know. And checked in and given a lovely room. They upgraded us to a suite that was just really nice.
Oh, nice.
But the thing is, go down thinking, well, I heard there's going to be a service, you know, happening. And sure enough, go to Las Ramblas, no problem walking there. And there is security, you know, police and guards, and some look like the heavy-duty security guards that only do the heavy-duty stuff, and they were certainly there. There had to be 14 or 15 satellite trucks all lined up on the top of Los Ramblas with all the people doing the news and reports. But that they were doing, and they brought in for that noontime service, they had the King of Spain, they had the head of the Catalonian government, and the Spanish, and all the people there, and no heavy-handed attitude whatsoever from the police. You know sometimes how you feel like if there's something going on, they treat you really bad, and they push you around, and they give you the heavy-handed getaway? None of that. I mean, they had it so under control. I was so impressed with the police, the way they were handling it. You could walk up and down Los Ramblas on the sides, and if you got off the main drive, the businesses were open. This always happens when you hear of terrorism attacks. And it was so sad because, you know, it was an awful thing. 34 countries impacted with the injuries and deaths. But the thing is, when you hear of terrorist attacks, and I want people to know, it doesn't mean the city shuts down. You know, life goes on, you know, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't go. In fact, you probably, as Peter Greenberg says, probably the best time to go because it's safest. The only thing that was a concern to a lot of people leaving is that the driver of the van had not been found. So that was of concern because you knew he was desperate and his other brothers had gotten killed or captured. And so there were people nervous because there's a loose person, you know, and you don't know where that's going to be or what's going to happen. So trying to get out was a nightmare. Left a couple days early and it was terrible at the airport. Lots and lots of people in confusion. I have to say the Spanish government was just like, whatever, no problem. But the American lineup to get out for passport control, like I said, two little windows open and they had it shut till like for an hour and you're in line and standing there. No one explaining what's going on. No one walking up and down, you know. So, you know, your plane's supposed to leave and it's already too late by the time you get to the passport control. And so missed a couple of flights and had to rebook things. And
oh, you did.
Yeah. And then landed up staying a night instead of San Francisco in Los Angeles and had to undo the bags off and bags on. And, you know, originally was going to have an upgrade going back and lost that, you know. But, you know, you get through it. And, you know, Barcelona people were fabulous. And I wouldn't say to anyone, don't go to Barcelona. I mean, I'd say go to Barcelona. It's a wonderful city. And I think the police are very much in control of these things and not heavy-handed with an attitude whatsoever. So I've got a minute left. That was the trip.
How was the food on Oceania?
Oh, food was great. Food was great. Too much. I gained like 6 pounds. I don't know how long. I got to lose the weight or I can't take another trip. But no, it was wonderful food. There's no lack of food. In fact, the problem is I kept saying this is going to be death by food. There's so much food you could really kill yourself by eating too much. But it was the food was excellent and lots of choices and a lot of stuff. Not a lot of things for vegetarians that didn't. I mean, there were vegetarian dishes if you eat cheese. But most of the vegetarian dishes had cheese. So for vegans, a little harder probably. But they did have dishes available. Not a lot of gluten-free. I went off my bread thing, and I ate bread.
Oh, well, they have that really good butter.
Oh, and great bread. Yes, good butter and great bread. A great trip. And you can contact my dear friend, Kathy, at 244-1414 about doing a cruise. Or maybe you're going to do your September cruise or Paul Gauguin. It's going to be fun. We'll talk next time about your cruise coming up, which sounds wonderful. And we'll see you next week here on the Travel Angel Radio Show.